This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs.
But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier.
Express is in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges.
Visit expresspros.com for a location near you.
We have a whole bunch of live shows scheduled for this summer. Pod Meets Yes. World Live is going on the road. So, Ryder, what... We've been in discussion. How are we going to do this? Are we going? Are the three of us going on the road together? What does that mean for our families? Right. Ryder, you have talked many times about how as Indy is getting older, it's made you realize, like, now that he's eight, you have 10 more summers of actual vacations with him. And so what have you decided to do this summer with your time?
We're going to road trip it. We're going to van life it. Yeah. We've done multiple road trips. Like during COVID in 2020, we did a big camping trip, you know, where we were just kind of on our own in our own little bubble. We literally brought like a portable toilet with us. So we never went to public bath. And we did that for like 3 weeks. And it was just such a bonding, great experience. And then after, like in 2021, when everyone was vaccinated and feeling safer, we decided to drive around the country and see all of our friends that we hadn't seen because of COVID. So we like did this epic 3 or 4 week road trip. And then, so this summer was coming up and I really want to take Indy rafting because I grew up whitewater rafting all the time.
Amazing.
And so we wanted to go, we do our normal camping trip. We go up to my parents, we go camping. And then I was like, oh, and then we'll just go right into a rafting trip. And then we were looking at the dates based on our live shows. And we were like, well, then we'd be driving all the way back to LA, like right when I'd have to turn around and jump on a plane to Minneapolis. I was like, why not just keep driving? And then we kept adding up the dates between conventions and live shows. We're just going to be on the road for over 6 weeks. And Indy could not be more excited, which I just love because I loved road trips as a kid. I love road trips as an adult. We camp and we get out and we hike and like we're going to whitewater raft. So it's not like we're like in the car the whole time, but just exploring the country. And I'm just so glad that he likes it. Like he always sees, he'll be like, Dad, I missed the month long road trip when we took our road trip 2 years ago. He still talks about it. And I'm like, all right, dude, let's do it again. So
if I am on the road for 6 weeks, I am running from the law. That's why I've been
because
in a car
you
for
want
six
to be
weeks.
Home
of course I am running from the, no, my wife and I, this is one of the things that makes a great partnership, and it's the same thing that you have, Danielle, and the same thing that you have with Alex, Ryder, is how you travel together makes a huge difference when it comes to your partnership. And Sue and I, on almost exactly the same day, at exactly the same time, no matter where we are in the world, we'll look at each other and go, I want to go home.
That's how Jensen and I
are. And it's usually
yes.
about 10 or 12 days into a trip. We're like, I want to go home now.
Yeah.
So that's what makes a great partnership when you're just, you travel the same together. It's important.
Yeah. And I think Alex and I would just keep going.
Like, forever.
I don't think we, except, unless we have to come home, there's, oh, we'll just keep going.
So getting back to our live shows, we are doing costume contests.
Oh, I can't
in every city. I feel like you guys just both took a sip of your coffee. Now I need to take a sip
now
of my
you need
coffee.
To take a sip.
So what transition. Costumes are you hoping to see?
I was just going to ask the same thing. What do you think is going to be the most obscure Boy Meets World character costume you're going to see? Because I'm guessing we'll get a lot of Feenies, a lot of plays with squirrels, a lot of Topanga, Topanga with the lipstick on the face.
Topangas, we've seen those
Dusty.
Before, actually.
Yeah.
I want to see a Dusty.
Dusty would be great.
Oh my God, that would be great.
Janitor Bud.
I want to see some Minkuses.
Minkus eye.
Would just be a great outfit.
What about a lobster?
A lobster.
See, that's what I mean. Like, it's good. Are we going to get a Nancy Kerrigan? Are we going to get a model from the mall? Are we going to get a Kathy Ireland? Like, how obscure are people going to go?
What about Ryder's friend who invented the word Strofty Bright?
Is that
Ocean?
That
would be so obscure. How do you, no one knows what Ocean looks like.
It doesn't matter. They just come up and say,
I'll tell you right now.
Okay, tell us.
Hair,
what is Ocean?
Long
okay.
curly hair, tie-dye shirt, black Nike shorts, no shoes. Every day.
So exactly,
every day of his life
exactly
when we were
what
kids.
You think a kid named Ocean who invented Ocean. A word like Strofty Bright would look like.
Tie-dye shirt. Different tie-dye shirt, black Nike shorts, never wore shoes. He grew up on like 50 acres, never wore shoes. He could run it on gravel. Like his feet were so thick because he just never wore shoes. So yeah, every day that's what he wore. So
okay. That would be amazing. That's pretty easy. I like that one.
So we haven't talked about on the show that that people sent us Strofty Bright in multiple situations on Boy Meets World.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
On the board. I wrote it on the board during the
season one.
Season one. And so you can see it clearly behind Ben. And then I wrote it on my notebook, apparently, in another episode.
That's you crazy. Really made a valiant effort to
I
get
did.
That
I was
word.
Really,
yes.
You know. But what it was so weird about seeing, like when people sent us those, it was like coded messages I had sent through time to myself. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh my God, I took these opportunities to write Strofty Bright into the show, like sneak it in there. And like, I totally forgot. So to be able to see it now as an adult, it was just the weirdest.
That's
it was
cool.
like time travel.
That's cool.
So cool.
So weird.
I also just got, for everybody going back to the costume contest, a 40-pound box delivered to my house. Of
scripts.
My scripts from back in my childhood bedroom. And I'm talking scripts with, like, remember they used to have the stickers with our names on them? Like, a bunch of them still have Wilfred L. on them. These were, like, original table read draft delivered to my apartment scripts that are there. I have the breakdowns of the blocking sheets.
Wow.
I have our cast and crew sheets with all the phone numbers on them.
Oh, my gosh.
I have our bump, like, the TGIF bump sheets. I've got all of that stuff.
Well, those are prizes.
Yeah.
For who wears the best costume, we will decide. We haven't talked about our criteria or the judging process. We still have to discuss all of that. But one of you lucky people will be walking out of our live show every single night with an autographed script from Will's stash that we will all sign for the best costume. I hope to see a Kuchling.
There'll be a Kuchling. That'd be great. Oh, wow. A Jodi Sweetin Kuchling.
Wouldn't that be a great costume?
With the ripped pants that she's peed herself in.
Right.
I'm also, I can tell you, going to be having lunch with a couple cast members of Boy Meets World coming up. I won't say who, but a couple coming up. So I
we
might bring
are not included in this.
You are not allowed.
I wasn't invited to lunch, apparently.
I guess we are not.
No, we're having a real cast reunion.
Got it. Okay.
And maybe I'll bring some scripts and have some of them sign it as well.
Oh.
So we can have some cool stuff there with some people.
Great.
But no, neither of you are invited. I keep up with everybody. You know how that is. And we don't like you. And so you're not going to be coming. And that's just how it is. But I'll tell you all about lunch. It's going to be great.
Oh, can't wait to hear about it. I hope you get some bib lettuce.
Why would I do that?
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
It's easy for us to strike up a streaming service or bust out a DVD to watch our childhoods. But for actual home movies, it's not that easy. That's why we want to tell you about our friends at Legacy Box.
Legacy Box is the safest and easiest way to digitize those old school memories you have as VHS tapes, stacks of pictures, or those little camcorder cassettes that you'd have no idea how to play now.
And Mother's Day is right around the corner. There's no better gift for the whole family than giving them a way to relive moments like a wedding day or your first steps or that time you fell into the pool at Uncle Rick's house on the 4th of July. The patio was slippery, okay?
Legacy Box takes it all. 15 different types of analog media, even photo negatives. They professionally digitize by hand right here in the USA and then send you back a thumb drive or upload it to the cloud, as well as return your originals.
We recently used Legacy Box to get some VHS tapes converted. Truthfully, we had no idea what was even on them. And we were thrilled to see one of them was my husband's first shave. His parents recorded it, and now we have this incredible memory to watch that we didn't even know existed. It was safe and easy, and it means a lot to us.
Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Danielle, tell us a little about your hydration style. Let's say you're thirsty. Are you chugging a glass, taking little sips, pouring it over your head like it's Flashdance? What's going on?
Well, we recently started karate. And the minute we get out of karate, we have been bringing our liquid IV, dumping it into some water, and I chug it because I am parched.
That is absolutely true. Well, I can tell you how I quench my thirst. Thank you so much for asking. It's with liquid IV.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink.
And 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness.
It really does quench your thirst faster than water alone. And it tastes good.
And with no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar, it's your time to try it.
Flavor-wise, I'm partial to pear and green grape. It's a perfect way to hydrate before a big day, especially if you've been up late the night before, which, honestly, I never am, but I'm somehow still tired.
I like white peach. It reminds me of being classy, and I want to swirl it and comment on what year I think it was made, and I think it was this year.
And it's incredibly conveniently packaged. You can just carry it in your pocket all day and then add it to your water. Bingo. Tastes great, and your thirst is quenched, and carpe diem.
I've used it after our long flights to live shows, and it worked to make me feel refreshed and ready to talk about MASH.
However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco.
Or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. So, today, we are recapping Season 2, Episode 23, Home, which is the Season 2 finale. It originally aired May 19th, 1995. Any thoughts you guys want to share before we jump into this episode?
Wow.
I love this episode.
You loved it.
I love it.
It's good. It's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic. It's very dramatic.
I am very dramatic.
You are very dramatic.
And I guess the interesting thing, the overall thought to me is that it's it's strange how much the show shifts into Sean's storyline, like into like Sean's world by the end of season two.
It feels like a two-parter. This episode and the one right before it feel like a two-parter.
It also feels like we haven't seen Corey in a while now.
That's what I mean.
That's the thing I noticed.
To end the season sort of moving away from Corey this much feels it's a bold move. It's a really interesting that I don't think I recognized that as how unusual that was, or maybe it wasn't unusual. Maybe it's just the natural evolution of the show. But watching it this time, I was like, wow, Corey is really like Sean's storyline is the major thrust of this. The season ender, which was just a lot.
And I wonder how much of that is because, as we've discussed with multiple episodes that we've seen lately, like I really loved the Thrilla and Filla episode. I think I was, you know, Will did too. Ryder, you were not a fan. Yeah. So I think it seems as though, in my opinion, the storylines of Corey being an everyman and I'm never making my mark and how do I make myself different? We've reached a point where we've exhausted those storylines. Right. We have done the very normal storyline of that, which is like the very relatable, who am I? I'm not gorgeous. I'm not super smart. Right. I'm just normal. We've done those episodes. Right. And then we've done, you know, crazy over the top episodes where Corey's a wrestler and it's pro wrestling and we've got Yasmine Bleeth and Robert Goulet. It's like we've exhausted those. And now we need some real stakes. Yeah. And how do we do that? Let's do it through Sean.
Right.
And yes, it's dramatic, but I love it. Well, it
brings
way more interesting to me.
You know, like it makes Alan and Amy parents again. And obviously Mr. Turner, a teacher / parent again. You know, it like brings up all the tensions that the show sort of started with, which is like, how do you raise kids and how do you be a kid in the world? And like it reignites all of the same. It brings back the characters to their sort of core and their essence. It stresses them out, right? Like it stresses the situation out in the best possible way so that everybody has to sort of get back to who they really are. It's great storytelling. Yeah.
It also, we've clearly set up now through two seasons, no matter what happens to Corey, he's not going to quote unquote fail. There are safety nets after safety nets after safety net. Right. He's got his parents who were super involved. He's got a brother who, even though his brother needles him and jokes at him, is always there for him and will, you know, jump over a hallway, you know, ledge to protect him if he needs to. He's got Feeney watching out for him. He's got Turner on his side. Like he's got Sean, a best friend who says, no matter what, you're Corey and I'm Sean. So like
Topanga,
frankly,
who's got a crush on him now that we've shown. Yeah, he's got a girl who likes him. It's like,
there's like, Corey's fine. Corey's fine. We have two seasons of setting up that Corey's life is going to be fine.
Beyond his own anxiety.
Exactly. If he can get out of his own way, he'll be golden.
Right. Yeah.
And, but what we've also set up is that his very best friend is not necessarily going to be fine. And so opening up the next few seasons of, let's see how this very stable rock character can influence this very unstable, not protected.
Yeah.
I just find it's
great.
Fascinating and way more interesting than continuing to see how secure Corey's life is.
It's television too, where it's, you know, you're coming into season two, you're hoping there's going to be a season three. The only way a television show has legs is if every character is developed.
Yes.
Right. So it's one of those things where, you know, after a while watching Family Ties, and it was like, well, let's get into Justine Bateman's character.
Yeah.
We need to know what the sister's like. We need to know. You see it on The Office. You see it on other shows where it's like, okay, if we're going to actually be one of those shows that lasts, everybody's got to matter.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are now. And I agree with Danielle 100%. Seeing there's something, which again makes the idea that he then was off the show so crazy, but seeing you and Tony together, there's something about the two of you together that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him trying, the way they've now made it where, you know, we'll get into it. He needs something in his life and you think it's going to be a woman, but it turns out to not be that. It's just, it was really clever the way that
Tony
they did
this. Tony's such a good dramatic actor.
Isn't he so good?
Really remarkable, because he clearly wasn't cast for that, right? I mean, he's cast, but he just rises to being such a, he's just completely, he's a rock, you know.
Yeah.
Like you just you want him to be this father figure so bad, and he's so believable, he's so present, and he doesn't.
There was a movie of the week that Tony did before he did Boy. And when we were friends, he was like, he showed it to me as a joke. He was like, you got to see this movie of the week I did. It was about, and the last kind of scene, they're all, he and his family are at a funeral and they're all sitting there and they pan past the family. And it is one stereotypical grief after grief. And it's kind of the bad, cheesy acting. And you get to Tony, who's dead behind the eyes and tears streaming down his face. And you're like, this is amazing. You're amazing at that. Yeah. He just could hit these beats that we didn't see.
He's not false at all. He's so real.
It's so present. It's he's great.
Did you and Tony really work on developing? Like, was that something? No external conversations about?
That's what I don't remember. I just remember us. I loved working with him, but it's so funny. I don't remember talking about acting at all. I don't remember talking about our performances. I don't remember, like, I mean, there are times, you know, and I can think of where I like worked out things with people, but I feel like it was all instinct. Like, I feel like we just, because I didn't know how to act. I just sort of showed up and did it. You know what I mean? And I think that we just worked together. We just had this chemistry and it came alive. I mean, I felt it, not so much in this episode, but in the previous episode when I go to his apartment and end up eating the food and falling asleep. Like, I just loved that scene. It was, you know, and I'm watching it. I was like, wow, I don't remember this, but I just thought the dynamic was, but no, we just had chemistry. We just had actor chemistry, you know, like whatever.
You know how lucky we are because what you just said is so true. I didn't know how to act either. You kind of just go and do it. And then you learn on your feet a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know how lucky we were to have the adult actors we did around us doing what they did. Yeah. Rusty and Bill and Betsy and Tony. I mean, we were only as good as those people we were watching and who were helping us along without even knowing they were helping us along. And man, and again, we didn't recognize it while we were there. We just, it was so beneficial to have those actors with us. And that's a credit to Michael and to Sally and everybody who cast, everybody who brought, I mean, Alex and all the adults they brought in were just so good.
I know.
That we upped our game to be next to them. So,
but we just took it for granted, right?
We did.
I honestly don't think I didn't think like, oh, it's remarkable that this 30-year-old dude can act this well. It was just like, well, he's Mr. Turner and he's a good actor and he just does
actor.
I mean, I would never have said Tony was bad. I always knew he was good, but I don't think I recognized what he was bringing to, you know, these scenes and these characters. Yeah. This character, it's so
incredible.
Good.
Yeah, agreed.
It's
Let's jump in. The synopsis is, when Sean starts to feel like a burden to the Matthews, he sneaks out, only to find himself on Mr. Turner's doorstep yet again. And Eric tries to master the SATs by working for Mr. Feeney. So once again, this is like our first real serialized.
We're becoming
we went from career
show.
Day right into
even
home.
Eric's storyline is serialized, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they've turned Eric into Corey. So this is the start of really Eric and Feeney. I mean, this is the same storyline. You're gonna work around the house. I mean, that's such a first season Corey storyline.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Way.
So it is.
Like
it's
the Mr.
Just,
Miyagi thing.
Exactly. And they've given it to Eric. They've completely given it to Eric. So strange.
Well, it was directed by David Trainer, written by Jeff Sherman, guest starring Jason Marsden as Jason Marsden, Blake Clark as Chet Hunter, Darlene Vogel is back as Catherine Cat Tompkins. Wow, she is in a lot of episodes.
And has like a major story point in this episode.
I know.
Like, it's not just a toss, it's like life-changing drama between the two of them. And she's great. It's incredible.
She's fantastic. And
no recollection, by the
way. No recollection. At all.
I thought she did one or two, maybe. I remember her because of her eye and because of Back to the Future. That's all that I remember. So that she was this integral
well, we
is
really
amazing.
We didn't really work with her. All her scenes are just her and Tony pretty much. Yeah. So,
Ivory Ocean as policeman. He's best known for his role as Mayor Tilton in The Mask.
There's something else with him we will talk about when we get to that scene.
Oh.
If I am correct, and I think I am, we'll get there.
I can't wait. Okay. Yes. Also worth noting, this will be the final episode with Lily Nixay as Morgan Matthews.
Oh yeah,
that's definite, right?
That's
definite, right? That she does. Season three comes back and she's gone, right?
I don't.
She doesn't
think
ever
she's
guest
there.
Star again or come back again, does she?
No.
Lindsay takes over.
I think halfway through season three.
Wow. Which wasn't that long then. If it really was halfway through season three.
Yeah, she would not. She would not have. It was a significant amount through season three, because I remember then when they wrote the character in and it was like she's been on a timeout.
Right. We made a whole big joke out of
it. Yeah, a whole joke. And she'd been gone for a while.
Right.
Also worth noting,
season four or five. Jeez.
This would have also been the infamous tape day of Embracegate.
True.
Oh, that's right.
So this would have been when Adam Scott.
Is he even in it?
He's not in this one, though. It must have been Thrilla and Phila.
It had to have been Thrilla and Phila.
Yeah, it must have been Thrilla and Phila. It must have been, unless we shot him out of order, which I don't think we did this season.
Unless he was just happened to be there for tape night in the final season.
Yeah, it was probably Thrilla and Phila, and he thought it was, I mean, he did say the finale, but.
Right.
Listen,
so
we
he
all
have been hugging me anyway, because there was no reason to hug me.
Well, unless he knew he wasn't coming back. You know what?
You're
it's
also
Adam
the
Scott's
star
fault.
Of the show at this point, Ryder, and
it's
he was
Adam
a guest star.
Scott's fault. How dare you know what? How dare he? Let's
exactly.
bring him back here.
Touch main cast.
Exactly. Oh man,
it's pretty great. So let's jump into our recap. We start in Corey and Eric's room. Corey is banging on the bathroom door to get Sean out, who has been living there now for 3 weeks. He spent 2.5 of those weeks in the bathroom, he says. Eric, who's sitting nearby at the desk, says to keep it down. He's studying. Corey shoots him a look, and Eric says, well, I am. And then Corey says, well, I'm trying to shower here. And Eric shoots him a look, and Corey says, well, I am. And I don't understand these jokes.
I don't either.
Okay, so... the joke is essentially, I'm studying. And Corey's like, you're studying?
Uh-huh.
I am. Well, I'm taking a shower. You're taking a shower? Like,
right.
Corey
so
never
Corey's
bathes.
Right, so Corey's a stinky.
I
Corey,
am.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
got
the joke.
It. And Eric doesn't usually study.
Right. So
okay.
it's out of the norm for both of them. It's out of the norm for Corey to shower and out of the norm for Eric to study.
Right. Okay. I would give that an oof. Just a real oof.
Working to sell this dialogue.
Because it's not good, man.
But it is. It's. I am.
They left you hanging as an actor.
Very big in the first part of this, just like trying to hit these beats. I get better as the episode goes on. But I think you're great. I'm working.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm bad. I definitely don't think I'm bad. But it's better as it goes on. It started
a
little rough.
But the opening of this show, for those to be like the hook'em jokes, I am not sure.
It could have used a rewrite.
Could have used a little punch up.
The best joke is my unibrow shaving cream.
I completely agree with you.
And that should have been how it started. It's just you coming out.
Just been me opening the door with that.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Yep. Sean opens the door and reveals he is shaving his face. Facial hair runs in the family, especially on his mom's side. You've got shaving cream just a little bit right here in between your eyebrows, which made me die laughing.
Yep.
So Eric is prepping for his SATs and still panicking. And here's where we see that we have a running storyline going on.
Yeah.
Eric is working out a problem. Nihilism is to optimism as gluttony is to, and he says, Butte, Montana. Did you guys figure out what the answer should be?
I didn't.
So wait,
it's nihilism is to optimism.
Okay.
As gluttony is to.
Starvation.
That's what I said first. That's what I said first. But no, because you can be gluttonous about anything. It doesn't just have to be food.
Really?
Well, nihilism is the belief in nothingness, and optimism is being positive. So gluttony.
So it is a little opposite-y. We're looking for opposite.
It should be pessimism.
Exactly. That's where it's.
But they love nihilism because they used that in the last episode too.
That's where it gets thrown.
Their go-to SAT word. Yeah. In our show.
I think what they're going for is something like starvation or.
I said moderation.
Moderation.
That gluttony is to moderation.
Yeah.
So anyway, I.
Nice.
Yeah. I then Googled it. You want to know what comes up?
What?
Just our show.
I was going to say,
just somebody asking.
Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. There is no answer.
That's great.
So Eric, who is mind blocked and can't even remember what college is until Corey reminds him, starts looking for his lucky pencil, who you call Pensy.
Pensy. Pensy.
All right. Somebody shows up at our shows dressed as Pensy.
Oh, yeah.
That's my
great costume.
Pensy.
Like a chewed pencil. Oh, I love it. It just says, and his name says Pensy. and he can't find it. He is freaking out until Corey finds it.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I just had the theme song to the Pensy cartoon that just went through my head.
How'd it
Pensy, go? Pensy, it's me and you. Pensy, Pensy.
Wait, Pensy is a
my
real
favorite
thing?
Number, too. No, I just made that up. But it just seems like that would be the...
Oh, my gosh.
Pensy, would... Pensy.
Pensy.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, sorry, let's get on that.
Let's record head. That.
Let's record that, please. Will's new theme song for the animated show he just created on the spot.
I did. It's me. That'd be Pens. That's how it would be.
That's how Pensy talks. Oh, okay. So Sean comes out of the bathroom cleaning his ears with Eric's lucky towel. Towelie, a South Park reference.
A South Park. Now,
pre-South Park.
Thank you.
Towelie.
I don't think they've. It's one of the things I wrote down. There's Towelie two of those in this episode. Two major shows taking from us in this episode.
Wait
and I think
a
we
minute.
Were Towelie first.
We created Seinfeld, South Park,
yep.
Friends.
Yep.
It's a Seinfeld one next, too, that I'm going to talk to you about. So,
but yeah, no, Towelie would have been like when we were, because that was right around the time that we did the Halloween episode.
Yeah, 95, when, like, 96.
Towelie's just the towel that just keeps getting stoned on South Park. You guys want
to
get high?
He was introduced Towelie! To like season 5 or 6 of South Park,
I think
Park,
so,
right?
Yeah. I think right. so. So, yeah, it's yeah, just
wow.
Put this up.
Okay,
all
yeah,
right.
But I think we beat South Park with Towelie, but we'll see.
Unbelievable. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. Guys, this is a very big deal for me, so we need to treat it as such.
Should we have a horn or something?
Cue the horn!
Target Circle, the program we all know and love, and that I am a card-carrying member of, now has automatic deals.
That's right. The all-new Target Circle is free and easy to join.
And the simplest way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
Now, when you shop in-store or online, all the incredible Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. You don't have to do anything.
And the brand new Target Circle 360 offers unlimited same-day delivery.
It's the fastest way to get an order to your door or someone else's. I'm sending Danielle a box of Oreos.
Yum, thank you.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
So Eric starts to give him ground rules about living in their house, but Corey steps in to say it's only temporary and they've been doing pretty darn well. Eric, who wants some peace and quiet, goes into the bathroom and screams off camera as his notebook goes flying. And Sean says, looks like he found Slippy, his lucky soap.
Slippy. Love that.
Slippy. All right.
I know.
Yeah. Everybody else is Slippy. All right.
Soapy would have worked. Yeah.
Either one.
Eric off camera getting hurt. That's a
big one.
I was going to say, I literally wrote same jokes as last episode. It's the same kind of, we're still in the SAT storyline.
For as much as I love this episode, I don't know that we started out super hot.
Nope.
I agree.
But I love the episode. Okay. Yep. So then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Morgan, our departing Lily Nixay, is eating a loaded ice cream sundae for breakfast. Alan calls it out as not breakfast, and she says Sean says his family has sundaes for breakfast all the time. Mm-hmm. Amy walks in, and Alan sarcastically explains that Morgan has been getting nutritional advice from the Hunters. And Amy starts to complain about Sean, but she stops herself because Morgan is there. So she offers Morgan an opportunity to go watch TV in the next room, but Morgan doesn't want to. So Alan pays Morgan $1 to go to the living room. And now alone, Amy and Alan talk about how the last couple of weeks.
Lily Nixay is
and that
camera.
May be it. We pay her $1 and get her out of there.
Thank you, Lily. Here's a buck. Thanks for
get out of the seed, kid.
Yikes. Aww, the show.
Poor
yikes.
Lily.
I thought Rusty was going to do something that I thought it looked like he was headed that way. And I was like, oh, here it comes. I thought he was going to start eating her ice cream.
Me too. Did he never do it?
I don't think he ever
that
did it.
That would have been great.
And I thought it would have been a great choice because he started with the spoon and I was like,
because he has it in there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's going to start eating the ice cream,
which
is a brilliant choice. And then I don't think he ever actually put the spoon to his lips. So I was like, oh, that's so close.
I know. Maybe he did. And it was just one of the things that was lost in editing because he was probably eating when we were on coverage of Amy. And so it's possible that he did and we just lost it. I thought the exact same thing while he had the bowl up there. I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to eat it. And then I started paying attention to something else and forgot all about it.
Me too. So, I saw something shiny.
So Amy and Alan talk about how the last few weeks with Sean has not been easy on their nerves or their budget. Alan doesn't blame Sean. He blames Chet, who hasn't called or sent a card in 3 weeks.
Yeah, man. 4 kids in a house. Can you imagine?
That's such
a burden.
Yeah. I'm glad they said financially, too, because you're adding another kid. That's huge.
Especially a teenage boy, the way they eat.
Yeah. They're on a budget. They've already set up that they are very much on a budget. You throw a third. You couldn't handle a dog.
He's a grocer,
let alone a third person. I mean, a fourth kid. That's huge. Yeah, that's big.
Well, Amy says she's glad Sean has Eric and Corey to make things easier. And then Sean comes down angrily apologizing and yelling to Eric for breathing his lucky air. Sean goes to the fridge and drinks right out of the milk carton. And he's wearing the same clothes as the last time we saw him. So we kind of get the sense that, he's wearing the same clothes every day. Even though didn't Chet say to go get a toothbrush and a shirt?
And a toothbrush.
Right. So you're not wearing that shirt. You're wearing this other one. So Amy marks the carton with an S and then opens the fridge to reveal all of the other items that have been marked as Sean, revealing that you apparently just drink out of all the cartons. Amy announces
it's a great joke. Yep.
Amy announces she went shopping for Sean. I got you some pants. And Alan is surprised that she brought him clothes. And she says, yes, he can't just wear the same outfit for 3 weeks every day. And Alan says, I do, which was very funny. Amy asks if Sean remembers the jeans with all the holes in them. Sean is afraid she threw them out, but she did not. She just patched them and he's mortified. There's an S on the butt and a ton of very tablecloth looking patches. It's so cute, that little S. By the way, did you guys have in the 90s a pair of holy super worn in jeans that you just loved more than anything?
I had jean shorts that I painted in one time.
Of course you did.
And then I wore them all the time, like paint splattered.
Jorts. You had shorts.
Yeah. The 90s. I had them yesterday. I wear them every day. I wear my ripped jeans every single day. Still,
I remember those
Shiloh
jeans.
And I
Will
used to have overalls. Remember, like big overalls were popular for a moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Will, I literally remember your jeans almost as well as I remember mine. They had that huge hole in the knee.
Yep.
I remember.
I think I have a picture of you with Anna, and Anna's on your lap, and you're wearing those jeans.
Yes.
I'll have to find that picture.
It's the best thing ever in the world.
I had a pair, too, that I loved more than anything. Oh, gosh, they're just the greatest.
Yeah,
nothing like that feeling of just your super worn-in holy jeans. Yeah. Ah, okay. So then she pulls out. She got him a really yellow hoodie. It looks very Corey-esque. And then Corey, sure enough, comes down
very
and he's wearing...
season one, right?
Yes.
Even
very.
The color is just so season one.
I mean, so nonchalant about it, too. He's like, oh, hey, same sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just so cool.
Got the same one. And this is where I noticed, so she didn't actually buy him any pants?
No, I think she said, I think...
mended my pants.
Mended the pants
sweatshirt.
And got a new top.
But she
but
says
she says
pants.
At the beginning,
she,
I bought you some new pants.
Oh.
And he goes, you bought him clothes? And so then she's like, remember those jeans? And I thought, oh, she's replaced them with a new pair of pants. But then no, she mended them. And then she pulls out a hoodie. And I was like, those aren't pants. So anyway, just little interesting things.
Not a big deal
because maybe there's a pair of pants in there she didn't get to yet. Maybe she bought him a hoodie and a pair of pants and had his jeans mended. But I did just notice that. Okay, then we're in the school hallway. Ms. Tompkins walks up to Mr. Turner. She calls him Johnny and gives him a little hug and a kiss hello on the cheek.
In the hallway. Is that weird for teachers to kiss in the hallway? I was curious. I didn't know if that was weird or not. It seemed a little weird. Like,
I think it seems a little odd for dating teachers. They're not married.
Like adult dating teachers.
Not that you can't kiss if you're not married. That's not what I'm saying.
I mean, the implication of this episode is that they're like together. Like they're either moving in or getting married.
At least in her mind.
Yeah.
At least in her mind they are. Right. Yeah.
But they really go, this episode's doing a lot to like make it happen as quickly as possible.
We'll get into that later because it seems like it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He hands her a paper bag of something she left at his apartment, and he gets nervous about her opening it up and opening it up in the hallway. And she says she left it there on purpose. He said he'd only be nervous if he wore them. So
they panties? What are they?
I think
underwear.
Yes, it's a pair of underwear. But here's my question again. At first, I thought
this is weird.
Toothbrush, because they refer to it as an it. And I thought, we call underwear them, which then made me think, why do we call underwear them?
Yeah, why are pants plural? Underwear is plural, right?
Like, why would
legs, maybe?
Yeah, because it's got two legs, but like, it's still a garment.
Shirts have two sleeves.
T-shirt is still it. T-shirt is still it.
I left it at your house, but
wouldn't
I would never
underwear.
Say, I'm going to put it on. You would say, I'm going to put them on.
Yeah. You would also
take them off.
Underwear.
A bra would be the only rational explanation.
It could be a bra.
You got it.
In a tiny little bag, though?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Okay. They fold in half and mold into themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be a bra.
It's a bra. Bingo.
I thought it was underwear, too. And I was like, why is this so weird? But you're right. It's a bra.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got to be
a bra. And that's why it's an it.
Or maybe like a negligee. Like a whole...
Right.
It's got to be small enough to.
It's
got to
be small enough
to
which a negligee could also fit in a paper bag. But I bet it's a bra. I bet it's a bra. And because she says, I have others. He brings it to her. If it's a negligee, he's not thinking, what are you going to, you need this. It's definitely a bra. Her point is, I have others. I don't need this one. I wear.
But she said I left it on purpose, didn't she? Yeah. Is it supposed to be like a sexy thing?
Nope. I think it's just a bra that she had there that she left there because she's going
to.
Because
she might need another bra. And it's like, we're going to.
Well, it could be a sexy bra. I don't think it's like, you know, something just for sexy time. I think it may be a sexy bra. It's a bra.
Okay.
I feel very confident that it's a bra, guys.
Right,
I feel like we've worked this out. Thank you for discussing this with me. I feel much better. So then Mr. Feeney walks up and he asks what's in the brown bag, but then realizes he doesn't want to know. He's thinking a change of subject is in order. And then Ms. Tompkins walks off. Sean is drinking from the water fountain wearing the modified yellow hoodie, the one Amy gave him earlier. It's very Sean style now. It's become a vest.
Yes.
And did you cut the hood off too?
Cut the hood off.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I thought
cut the
pretty
sleeves
sure.
off and cut it down the middle.
But also, why am I wearing this then?
Is
it cold out? And if it's cold, then why did I cut the sleeves off?
It's just another layer.
I know.
Why would Sean put on this ugly thing, even if he modified it. It doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make much sense, except for the fact that we needed to see that you cut it up so that we could have this exchange that comes next.
Yeah.
Corey walks up and asks if he knows what his mom did if she sees this modified hoodie. And he says, my guess, she would clean it, sew it back up, and put an S on it, which I thought was a very funny
joke. Great. Yep. Really funny joke.
And Corey says she's just trying to be nice. And Sean says he's just trying to get through this without making any waves. And I love that. I think everything about what just happened in that exchange is perfect.
Yeah.
I fully understand both of their positions. I fully understand how tense this is for Sean and how difficult this is. And it was just enough for Mr. Turner to overhear for him to understand that something's going on.
Yep.
So Mr. Turner is nearby. He hears it and asks Corey how it's going with Sean being at his house. And Corey says it's going great. They're best friends. Turner offers for Corey to call him anytime if he needs anything. And as Corey leaves, Feeney walks up to Mr. Turner, concerned about him giving his phone number to students. And Turner says, give him a break. Sean is having a tough time and he's his teacher. Feeney reiterates he is only his teacher. And Turner says, come on, you're always getting involved with the Matthews kids. And right then, Eric almost walks into an open locker. Feeney yells, Eric! Right? Is he Eric or is he a locker?
Eric Locker.
Right. And Eric dodges it just in time. And you give him the cutest, most perfect thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Got to give Feeney the thumbs
so
up.
So good.
This, again, is a perfect scene.
Perfect scene.
Yeah. It is a, from beginning to end, with what happens with Miss Tompkins, to with the exchange that happens between Corey and Sean, to then
The bra thing's a little weird to me, but everything else is good. Yes.
But here's the thing the bra thing sets up. It sets up again. It reminds the audience from the last episode of Career Day.
Right.
She is thinking of his house as a second home to her.
Right.
His house is her house. And you, without needing to spell it out with a ton of exposition, very quickly understand that he's like, you're leaving your things in my house. He does not feel as though his space is her space.
Right.
So I couldn't think of a better way to explain that dynamic without having it to be one too much exposition, which,
So
anyway, I think it's just a perfect scene.
It's it's actually really well directed and blocked too, because there's a lot going on. There's characters coming in, characters coming out, moving this way.
Three mini scenes. Yeah.
She also noticed when she exited towards camera.
Yep.
So she also made it where, okay, there is more to this hallway down this way, more school this way. So all the little beats in this scene really made it feel very full.
Yep.
I liked it quite a bit.
So Feeney brings home a speech to Turner about keeping boundaries, and then wham, Eric runs into a different locker. And then we're back in the Matthews kitchen. Eric is pacing, nervously waiting for Jason to finish grading his practice SAT exam. Jason says Eric got a 190 on the practice SATs. Eric says, that's impossible. You get $200 just for spelling your name right. 200 points. Why is it 200 what?
$200.
I want $200. I know. Seriously. I'm such a capitalist.
Perfect $1,600.
Dollars. You get 200 points for just spelling your name right. Eric then notices he spelled his last name wrong. There's two T's in Matthews.
Yeah. This is Eric becoming what he's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's all about studying, which is strange. It's kind of a bizarre combination of what he was and what he's becoming.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's an interesting hybrid of the two Erics, as it were.
Yeah.
To kind of see the evolution is interesting. And again, I say this every time, Marsden, bunch of episodes. I mean, Jay
is this
was
his last episode.
I think so.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it seemed like there was a shift. We haven't seen season three yet, and we legitimately haven't seen season three yet. But it seems like there's going to be a shift.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, I think this was his last one.
So Jason says Eric needs to sleep. His brain needs a break. Right now, he wouldn't even get into clown college. And Eric asks, is that a four-year school?
It's a four-year school. That's a really good school, too, clown college.
Yeah.
It is.
It's hard.
Really hard to get in. Was it Penn Jillette was like one of their top students? And there's some great people that have come out of Clown College.
So Eric says he needs more oxygen and he grabs Jason to run outside. Jason asks if Eric's house has ever been tested for radon. And Eric panics at the thought of another test. Jason leaves just as Mr. Feeney enters the backyard carrying some mulch. He asks, SATs this weekend, Eric? And Eric says, yeah, me too.
Which I thought was funny.
Very cute, very funny, easy joke.
And then there was a really weird cut. Hmm. Did you see this? So it was like all of a sudden we're in the scene and it's very natural. And then there's this bizarre cut where they must have lost a line or two. Because then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm not ready. And it was like, where the hell did that come from? It was like they lost something. It was really weird.
No, it wasn't.
So yeah, if you go back and watch it, it was just a bizarre cut. It was a weird cut. Yeah.
Huh. Weird. Well, Mr. Feeney tells Eric all students feel anxiety around their college exams, but there's no way around them. They're very important. Eric says he's not ready, and Feeney says he promised to never tell any students this, but he knows secrets that would unravel the entire college screening process as a whole. Eric wants to know these secrets. Feeney says he can for a price, and Eric thinks he's being sly and wants some money, so he takes out his wallet and says, Feeney, you sly dog.
Sly dog.
Which I think is really cute, and I'm dying to know, how much money does Eric have in his wallet?
Yeah, exactly.
What does he think? What is he going to offer Feeney for
working?
These?
He
needed that $5 from Corey back in the day. Also, I'd like to point out, we are now at the end of season two, and there has not been a single Feeney call.
Yeah.
So there's not even the start of a Feeney call yet.
You're right.
You didn't start doing it till later.
I guess not.
Season five?
Later, I guess
yeah,
not.
I think it's season five. I think it's
maybe,
way later. Thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I thought it had there had its genesis
really?
Earlier
you thought
than
it
this.
Started way back? Okay.
I thought there was at least one scene where it was the regular Mr. Feeney from the fence line, but there's been nothing yet. So I was that amazed me a little bit. Yeah.
Well, Feeney scoffs at the money idea and says that he's doing some landscaping around the house, and if Eric will help him, he will tell him the secrets. It's a deal. They shake hands. And then we're in Corey and Eric's room. Corey is sleeping, and he wakes up to find Sean looking out the window at a dog. It's a stray dog that Sean is clearly connecting with.
Is it a metaphor, guys?
What?
No, it's
do
a
you
dog.
Think? Do you think? This is a little... Heavy-handed.
A little on the notes?
A little on the notes? Yeah.
Just a little bit. But, you know, again, this is a 90s sitcom directed at children, even though it's supposed to be for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to spell out to a younger generation.
Yep.
Right. Sean feels like a lonely dog.
And how? And because you also want to say, how could he possibly find anything good in what we've presented? His house has been taken from him. He doesn't have clothes. He doesn't have his bed. But also, we have to say why Sean misses it. It's what he's used to. There's a freedom in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel constrained by it. He's been so used to living on his own terms that he likes that. And so we need the audience to understand what is drawing Sean to pursue that again, as opposed to it just being like, well, why is he crazy? Anyone would want the life Corey has. But that isn't necessarily true. So this is this it may be feel heavy-handed to us as grown adults, but if you are a 10 or 11-year-old,
you have to rationalize why Sean would want to run away.
Why would Sean would Sean hate it so much inside this house and why would he feel constrained and what is he missing from his past life?
It's very real. I know this is a strange analogy, but when I went to go do boy, I was 16 or 17 and I was living at the Oakwood. I was, you know, had a guardian but was living by myself. Smoking three packs a day. I had this great freedom in my life.
Yeah.
And then the show wrapped for the first season and I went back and lived with my parents again, who were the greatest people in the world. But I was like,
it was another.
Oh, I have rules again. Yeah, like I'm back. I had my own apartment. I was doing my own wash. I was cooking for myself. And then all of a sudden, that was on a Thursday. And on Friday, I had a curfew again.
Right. And now you have someone saying to you, Otter Pops for breakfast?
Exactly. What the hell are you doing? And it did. And it was like, that's right. The structure in life is back again. And there is kind of, man, I love you guys so much, but I've
moved past
this.
You gotta go to Amsterdam.
I went to Amsterdam. So I did what any 17-year-old does. You go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, and you decide to move there. So it makes sense.
It did make sense, yeah.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched-out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Guys, this is a very big deal for me, so we need to treat it as such.
Should we have a horn or something?
Cue the horn!
Target Circle, the program we all know and love, and that I am a card-carrying member of, now has automatic deals.
That's right. The all-new Target Circle is free and easy to join.
And the simplest way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
Now, when you shop in-store or online, all the incredible Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. You don't have to do anything.
And the brand new Target Circle 360 offers unlimited same-day delivery.
It's the fastest way to get an order to your door or someone else's. I'm sending Danielle a box of Oreos.
Yum, thank you.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them. Can I ask a quick question about the timing?
Yeah.
Because the parents later say
9 p.m.
9 p.m. And Corey says 9 p.m. is their curfew.
Curfew.
But Corey's already asleep.
Because Corey is smart and 8:30 p.m. is the best bedtime.
That is the best bedtime.
At 14?
Not at 14.
So I was wondering, like, oh, he's asleep at 8:45.
I know. It is weird. I know. It is weird. I don't know why it needed to be 9 p.m. I don't know why later they didn't say 10 p.m. Because
yeah. or since he left last night, that's all you needed to say. You didn't need to specifically say 9. I figured it was like Corey wakes up, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and Sean is staring out the window. But it wasn't. It was 9.
Well, they needed to set up that Mr. Turner was still awake having this conversation with Kat Tompkins. So they needed to be late enough for someone to say, why is Sean out and about? But not why is Mr. Turner still up? But that's why I think 10 o'clock would have worked.
10 or 11 could have worked.
If your curfew is 9 p.m., you probably are at least staying awake until 9 p.m. watching something on TV, especially when your best friend is living with you.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You're with your best friend.
The only thing to me, and I do understand why later they did want to say a time, because it's helped set up the fact that Corey goes, do you guys just know everything that happens? Like, they knew to the moment what time he left.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think 10 is the perfect compromise. Thought a lot about it. I think 10 p.m. could have been better. Let's invent the time machine, go back, make this little tiny tweak.
Love it.
So Corey says the dog is barking because he needs a home.
Very funny.
And Sean says the dog doesn't need a home because he's happy and free. He doesn't need to follow any rules. And Corey says, I don't know. To me, the dog looks lonely, cold, and like he doesn't have a friend in the world. And Sean quickly opens the window to try and get away, but Corey says he can't. It's a school night. And Sean says he can't live by these rules. If he wants to cut his toenails at the dinner table, he should be allowed.
Great.
And Corey explains, we were just covering our food.
Just covering our food.
So gross.
Great.
It's
so disgusting, but so great. Corey says his parents make the rules, and Sean says he didn't ask to live with them or be in this situation. And Corey asks, well, what am I supposed to tell my parents? And then we hear the dog bark again, and Sean says to tell them he took himself out for a walk. And then we are at Turner's apartment. Ms. Tompkins is over. They're sitting on the couch romantically, and Turner says he could look into her eyes forever. And Ms. Tompkins asks if that means he wants to marry her. And he is shocked. You got that from that? What
it's
are you?
It's been 4 months.
Any
man in his right mind would turn and run. Hey, your eyes look beautiful. We've been dating for 4 months. Does that mean you want to marry me? Get out. Those are the only possible answer to that next thing. Are you kidding me?
No, no.
Four months?
Not, man. If you're in love. I mean, look, Well, hold on. Let's go back.
Let's do it.
What about 3 months to buy a car, to make a decision? How long did Amy have to? And you were.
But again,
I feel like there's a logic gap.
You're talking about the logic gap between taking 3 months to buy a car and 4 months to want to marry somebody you just started dating?
Okay,
come on,
hold
that's
on,
apples
hold on.
And marriage.
No. Let's see. Now, Turner is in his early 30s, right?
Okay. I think, or maybe late 20s. Yeah.
I feel like he's
28
in his,
to 33, maybe.
Okay, somewhere in there.
Right.
She is acting as though she says she's the same age.
Okay.
Her implication when she says that is we are old enough to know what we want. And you get the sense that she is not looking to be in a relationship for like 2 years before she decides whether or not she wants to get married and have a family
fair.
With somebody.
That's fair.
At 4 months, I'm also picking up on all of this stuff that he has not said, I love you yet.
Okay.
He
it's
says
been 4 months.
He could look in her eyes forever, which does feel a little like, wow,
hey,
that means
serious.
Something. That means something if you think you could look in my eyes forever.
Okay.
And I don't think she's trying to say, I need you to propose to me, but she is looking for I love you. And based
some
on where we
commitment.
Are now,
right.
I see this being the potential relationship that could go the distance.
No right. problem with anything you just said.
Okay. And I think that's what this is. And again, they just needed to up the stakes a little bit
right.
where she could look at it like, if you're not willing to say to me, I could see this relationship leading to forever.
Yeah.
Something may change in 3 or 4 months, but I could see this being something that lasts forever, which it feels as though he can't even say that to her. And she says, if after 4 months of this much time with me, you can't tell me that, then you are maybe not the person for me.
Have no problem with anything you just said. When
okay.
the answer, when it comes from, I could look in your eyes forever. Does that mean you want to marry me? You're a crazy lady. That's
right.
what that. Yeah. So if you go from I could look in your eyes forever. Well, what does that mean? Because we've now been together for 4 months. What
they
does forever mean to you is
it.
Different than throwing marriage out.
They
instantly.
They could have changed it a little bit to say, does that mean you could see yourself marrying me someday?
Or does that mean you could see this lasting? You don't throw the marriage word out after 4 months ever.
I disagree.
It's funny that you're so strong.
I think
most men, and I'm not trying to speak for everybody. I think most men would find that an instant red flag. If you say I could look into your eyes forever after 4 months, and the response is, does that mean you want to marry me? Most guys would instantly have their radar up,
right.
where it's like, wow, you took that real far, real fast. And he kind of does that, where he's like, "Why you take a compliment worse than anybody I have ever seen him." And again, had they written it in a way where it was exactly what you were saying, Danielle, like, I don't want to, you know, give my heart to her. Line that she says is great. Yeah. I don't want to give you more of my heart.
Says, right.
Yeah. Like, right. That, but that she jumped right to marriage, which for, again, most men is going to signal.
But it's just the word marriage, because saying I could see myself spending forever with you is marriage.
Yeah. No, but you want to take steps and seeing. So it's not even saying forever with you. It's right. Do you see this going somewhere?
Right.
Which doesn't necessarily mean marriage, but it also means there's a possibility for growth, which yeah. is what you want in a relationship. Hey, right. this is something where it's going to be together, the two of us. I see this growing together into something that could yeah. be beautiful.
But that's I always great. Break it down. I always break it down into the, for TV show purposes, we are looking at stakes.
I get
and
it.
And if we need to say on a quick elevator pitch what this is about.
Right. He is not is, ready to
is
commit.
Is Mr. Turner ready right. for commitment to a woman,
it.
Which is it equals marriage?
I get it.
No. And right. she but, is looking for that.
But the way they wrote it, most men would have pulled the ripcord at that point.
Let's
when
see.
You go right from I like your eyes to does that mean you want to marry me, most men would be like, I got an
forever.
Early racket game
he
tomorrow. So, yeah, I know. It's,
I know.
I could look into your
anyway.
Eyes forever.
Yeah. We can agree to disagree.
We can, at
so
least for 4 months.
She says they have spent 4 months together, and Jonathan, you are a good, gentle man. I love you. I could spend the rest of my life with you and have children with you, and I know that they will always be safe. When you hold me, I feel safe. If you can't say the same thing with the same conviction, then don't let me give any more of my heart to you. Go. And he says, you take a compliment worse than any woman I've ever met. He says he can't say that he loves her. And then there is a knock at the door and it's Sean. Mr. Turner says this is a terrible time. And Sean says, tell me about it. And he reveals a uniformed police officer next to him. And then Sean says, He's a cop.
That's my favorite line.
It's
the
great
best.
Line.
He's a
great
cop.
Line. He's a cop. And this is another stealing.
So good.
This okay. is this is the other thing we were going to talk about. That same actor played exactly the same police officer, but with an eye patch in Seinfeld the next season.
Really?
Same uniform, same character, same everything in an episode called The Scofflaw. And I was like, that was our police officer first.
Wow.
That was our police. So we got Towley. And the police officer from Seinfeld, right there. Same
I'm
character.
I'm telling you.
Yep,
wow.
they're stealing from us.
Well, then we're into a commercial break, and then we come back. We're still in Turner's apartment. The police officer explains that Sean was caught loitering with older kids, and they had spray paint at the high school. It looked like they were about to do some redecorating. So Sean says he was just going to sell the cans to some bad kids for a higher price. Serves them right.
Now, I liked this moment because it's one of the few times where Sean was actually doing something bad.
Yeah.
Like we talk about yeah. Sean being this like rebel or whatever, but Sean, besides blowing up a mailbox,
yep.
never does anything actually against the law or
right.
bad. He's always in school.
Nope.
Yeah.
He's always shows up for, you know, like, so this
Corey's
is one of
gotten
the
more
few
detentions.
Times. Yeah. Corey's gotten way more detention. So this is one of the few times in the history of Boy Meets World where Sean actually was doing something bad and he
yep.
was going to spray paint, you know, or whatever. And I just liked it. I was like, oh, this is nice to see. There should have been a little bit more of that because
yep.
there's just not enough. Like, we're just sort of told that Sean's a bad kid or from the wrong side of the track. But this is like a clear example of him doing something wrong. It was
right.
nice. Yeah.
Yes, it is nice.
I think, that's
I,
true.
I think
yeah.
part of the reason they don't ever show more than that is because they don't want you to actually be the bad kid.
No,
they just want the threat
exactly.
of you becoming the bad kid.
Exactly.
So this is the perfect
yeah.
amount of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also they want all the other characters to assume you're going to be a bad kid from where
right.
just from where you're from.
Right.
Which is that whole thing, too.
But we should keep tabs on it. Like, I don't know if Sean ever is a bad kid. Like, ever,
right.
You know, besides this and blowing up a mailbox, does Sean ever do anything truly bad? Like,
right.
in the sense of, like, amoral or against
no.
the law?
Like, yeah, and I mean, so. Even in this situation, you didn't actually do the graffiti yet. It
no.
looked like you were about to. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he told the police officer that he was staying with Mr. Turner. Turner thinks about it for a second and looks back at Ms. Tompkins. She looks sympathetic and supportive. And he says, yeah, he's staying with me while his parents are out of town. And then Sean goes even further and says, yeah, called out of town to save a baby girl in East Virginia who fell down a blowhole, which is hysterical. Just the too much detail liars give.
Yeah.
And the police officer tells Turner to keep Sean in his house and apologizes to Mrs. Turner for the disturbance.
Ooh,
and then he leaves. And Sean is shocked at Mrs. Turner and says, hey, congrats. But as Sean goes to shake her hand, Kat says, nope, she's still Miss Tompkins. And Jonathan says, we'll talk, or he sees her later. And she says, good luck. And she leaves.
Okay. That's my question.
Yeah, she's breaking up with him.
Is that a breakup?
Yeah.
See, would it have been stronger if she said goodbye? That's what I thought. I was waiting for him to say, after, you know, whatever, and her going, goodbye, Jonathan. Like, I thought there was something.
I liked it so much.
That it was good
that
luck.
That it was good luck.
But you think it's a breakup?
She is leaving, breaking up with him without any malice.
Okay.
Right.
She doesn't dislike him. Right. She's not mad at him. She doesn't blame him. She's not
saying,
she's not guilt-tripping him.
Yeah. We're just in two different things.
And I are in looking for different things, and I feel differently about you than you do about me. And there's nothing wrong with either one of us. It's very mature.
I like it too.
And I love it.
Cool. Yeah, I thought that's what it was, but I was like, I think she's breaking up with him.
Yeah, she is. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. Guys, this is a very big deal for me, so we need to treat it as such.
Should we have a horn or something?
Cue the horn!
Target Circle, the program we all know and love, and that I am a card-carrying member of, now has automatic deals.
That's right. The all-new Target Circle is free and easy to join.
And the simplest way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
Now, when you shop in-store or online, all the incredible Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. You don't have to do anything.
And the brand new Target Circle 360 offers unlimited same-day delivery.
It's the fastest way to get an order to your door or someone else's. I'm sending Danielle a box of Oreos.
Yum, thank you.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
So So Sean is then about to leave, but Turner says stay, and he holds him back. And Sean asks why she got to leave. And Turner says, because I have more to say to you. And then he confronts Sean about the blowhole lie. Sean thanks Turner for covering because the Matthews would have freaked out with police at their door. And Turner yells, saying, would they have been mad like this? Turner is furious at the situation and disappointed in his behavior. And Sean tries to leave again. He's had a really rotten night. And Tony does the best. Do you see me ballroom dancing?
Ballroom dancing?
It's so good. It's so great. He tells Sean if he keeps heading down this track in life, then he's going to go down places he doesn't want to be. Sean apologizes for messing up his night, and Turner says, don't worry, I already messed up my night well before you got here. Turner sits down, and Sean joins him, saying, yeah, women. And Turner says, what do you know about women? And Sean quickly retorts, what do you want to know?
Oh,
and Turner says, why can't you? It's so great.
It's so good.
Everything about this.
Yeah, it's perfect. The characters so come together, and they're just, you want to see them together. You want to see Sean giving him dating advice. It's hysterical.
It's awesome.
It's so good. And the quick little retorts, why can't you be this sharp in my class? And your response, math's not my best subject. All of it. So great.
Yep. I was about
Turner
to break
says,
there. Could you tell?
Oh, were you?
I did.
I said, math's not my best subject. I had to look away because I think if I had made eye contact, I would have lost it.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm your English teacher. And Sean says, then why are you teaching math?
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful scene between you guys.
So dumb Sean is coexisting with dramatic Sean. Like,
exactly.
They're in the same in the same episode. So yeah. Nice.
It's so great. It's a perfect way of instilling your dramatic character with bits of comedy.
Yep.
Because you can deliver it deadpan and it fits with the drama. So it's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah, it is. It's great.
Then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Amy and Alan call the boys down for breakfast, but Corey comes down alone. They ask where Sean is, and Corey starts to cover for him. They know that Sean left around 9 p.m. the night before. Corey asks if they know everything all the time. And then Corey says that Sean is like a wild dog doing wild dog things. Turner then knocks on the door with Sean next to him, and Alan reveals that Turner called them. Amy sends the boys up to their room, and Alan says the last time he heard from Chet was when he backed out of their driveway and hit the trash can. Eric walks in from outside asking for a weed whacker and reveals that he's working for those SAT secrets and has Feeney right where he wants him.
And apparently rolling in the dirt.
Is that
what's happened? Is he absolutely rolling in the dirt as he's
just
out there?
Covered in mud.
They were not subtle with that fat costume, were they?
Feeney yells at him to keep working in the garden, and Eric says, right in the palm of my hand. It's really great. Just as Turner explains what Sean needs, Chet calls and starts to leave a message on their machine until Amy picks up. They ask where he is. He says he's either leaving Ohio or heading into Georgia. He's nowhere near Philadelphia. Amy asks if he found his wife, and he says no, but he did find the RV. Alan
asks, one of those, we have two like kind of cheat swing sets. There's this one, and then there's the outside the boys' bedroom. Yeah, that's funny.
Yep.
They're like really just... They're like one shot, basically.
Exactly.
Like
one little shot, one little 4 foot section max.
Don't cost too much. Yeah. But this one, I mean, so how did they get the car effect moving on the outside? That's what I'm curious about. No, because I think you can see cars moving. So it might actually be a screen. Like, I don't know.
They didn't do things after the fact, like digitally back
green screen,
did they?
I don't think we would have had green screen back then. But maybe
we had regular green screen. Don't you remember I rapped about it? But no, the other, I mean, I don't know if we had it on our set, because it's funny, because in the next scene, it really made me realize how amazing those backdrops are, because that backyard, you can stare at it and it looks real.
Well, it's a photograph.
Yeah.
There's depth to it with the other plants in front of it. So
the only green screen we ever did was our amazing opening credits, which
hopping into the car.
Season 3, when we're on the car and it looks so fake.
Yeah. And Good Looking Detective. We did a big green screen for Good Looking Detective too.
But I don't think they would have done green screen for this. So I'm curious how they actually pulled that off, because you can see cars whizzing
by. We could probably ask Kendall at some point. We'll have to follow up on that. So Alan asks if Chet's coming back, and he says he won't be coming until he finds his wife and wins her back. And then a waitress comes up and hands him the bill, and he reluctantly pays, saying he thought he left it on the table. So he was trying to dine and dash.
So good.
Alan says it's not fair to anyone with Sean's current situation, and he should come tell Sean. Chet says, I just did. If he knows his son, he's nearby listening in on the adults talking. And yep. Sure enough, Sean is listening behind them and says no one wants him and he doesn't need anybody, and he runs upstairs.
Poor Sean. Poor
Sean. Alan and Amy run after Sean, but Turner waits for him outside by the treehouse because he was once a little Sean type, and so he knows exactly where he's going and what he's doing, and he runs out into the Matthews backyard. Sure enough, Sean jumps down, and Turner says it's easy to run when someone reaches out and tells him they care, but all Sean is looking for is somewhere to sleep. Turner surprises him and says he can give Sean a home. Sean asks if it's just for 3 weeks and then he'll get sick of him. And Turner says he's already sick of him, but no, he's still offering him a home. And he says he needs to do something for somebody else and he isn't trying to be his dad. Sean agrees to move in with Turner with a very cool handshake, saying they both like a challenge. And then
great scene. Great. I mean, the great dialogue scene. Is so good. Yep. And it's like the characters are just you're just rooting for this to happen.
Absolutely.
In the best
and what
possible
I
way.
What I love, too, is what you were talking about, Ryder, with Tony being such a good dramatic actor. The one of the things we loved so much from Career Day was the way Alan Rusty pats Ben's stomach at the end instead of when and it could be this really kind of like, I'm the son of my father. And it could be this emotional thing. The fact that Turner responds with, I'm sick of you right now.
Exactly.
Like the fact that the response is,
I'm not going to try to be your dad.
I don't want to be your dad. Yeah. All of it's so good. It makes it actually makes it land so much more. You're so much more invested than laying it on too thick.
Plus the way they've set it up where they need each other already. We already know they need each other. It's great. It's great.
Exactly. Because they very easily could have. A lesser show wouldn't have given us any backstory about why this is actually going to be good for Turner, too.
Right.
And it would have just been that Turner's going to do the good thing for this kid.
Yep. Right.
But instead, it is actually a who rescued who, to borrow a phrase from Dog Rescue, which ties it all in with the laying it on thick in the bedroom with the dog.
That was a metaphor, the dog.
What?
I just got it.
Oh. So then to top off an already incredible scene between Sean and Turner, Corey falls out of the treehouse.
So good.
It was I laughed, actually laughed out loud.
Did I. I so actually good. Laughed out loud. He falls down, hurting himself, and says, oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
And it's perfect.
It is great. So funny.
Couldn't love it more.
Oh, God.
So Turner excuses himself to go square things up with Sean's dad. And Corey overheard the conversation with Turner. He was hanging in the tree for a while, had to wait for a squirrel to leave him alone. And he gets why this situation is better than his parents' house. And Sean won't be astray anymore.
Tons of hand rubbing. Ben, after the land, it's all hand rubbing. But man, it was fun. Oh, it was so good.
Oh, so funny. So Sean asks, what if he hates living with Turner? And Corey says he'll have his parents put in a doggy door for him. And Sean says, just leave a window open. And Corey says, you got it. And just one beautiful scene after another.
Yep, I agree.
Great writing.
Awesome.
Sherman wrote this episode, right?
Yes. And Matthew Nelson wrote the one before, Career Day.
Yep. We've had a couple in a row that have been really well written. Yeah.
Dare I say, Career Day and Home are two of my favorite episodes of the series?
Really?
Yes.
Definitely of the season for me, I would say. They're great. It's a solid ending, too.
Right on par with me, for me, with some of my favorite season one episodes. If not, even in my opinion, slightly better than some of those. I think these are in contention for me.
Yeah.
They're not too dramatic for you? Like, I mean, I
love
me,
them.
Really? Okay. Because for me, like, the dog scene especially is just not a great scene.
I can see how you would feel that way. But I also think if you really put it into context of that was for 11-year-olds.
Yeah. Right.
And some of the other stuff is for the 45-year-olds. And some of the other stuff is for the 20-year-olds who are there watching.
Right, right.
And we still get, even though they are dramatic episodes, there are still, I literally laughed out loud multiple times in
me
this.
Too.
When Corey falls out of the tree at the perfect moment,
yeah.
I was great. And I rewound it and I watched it again. So to me, there's never too long without a laugh.
Right.
There's the right amount of hooking me in and making me invested. And then they break it up with a laugh out loud moment. It's a beautiful, beautiful episode.
I agree. I agree 100%. I thought it was great. I thought the last two especially have been.
Yes.
What a way, like, just what a way to end the season. And if and we were ever on the bubble, I mean, come on. You
exactly.
Know?
And then Thrilla and Thilla being right before career day, you have a fantastic farcical romp weirdo.
Romp.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like,
if you're
looking,
if you're, mean, yeah, come on. Right. It's like this.
So season two won you guys over. Season two.
I mean, we started off, it was drop shot.
It was rough.
And boy, this show's hooked me in.
That
I am,
was rough.
I'm glued to it.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to be said, like, even more devastating that Tony never came back after his motorcycle accident.
I know.
Now, seeing
I don't even want to talk about that now.
The show is hinged on this relationship. Like, the cliffhanger of the season is Sean and Turner are going to be living together. I can't wait
but
to see that.
But we still have season three with him. We still have season three. Let's wait to mourn his loss.
It's so clearly invested in Sean's arc. Yeah. Like, his whole character is going to be saved by this person.
Yeah.
And Tony's going to.
And Tony
Turner's
will be saved by Sean.
It's so great. Like, we have to resolve this.
Well, you will. And then he's in a horrible motorcycle accident.
God.
He resolved it in 30 seconds on Girl Meets World. I remember I was there. Yikes.
So we are in Feeny's backyard. Eric is gardening while Feeny watches. Eric is tired of it. He demands to know the secrets about the SATs, which are now tomorrow. Feeny says, get a good night's sleep, which he reveals is the first secret. The second is clear your mind. And Feeny asks him if he knows what the third secret is. And Eric says, you're Satan.
You're Satan?
So funny.
I remember that.
Feeny asks him if he knows what SAT means. And Eric says, SAT? And Feeny says, Scholastic Aptitude Test. It measures what's in your brain. So get some sleep, clear your mind, and trust yourself. Eric prepares to leave, but Feeny says there's still work to do. The manner of pruning my azaleas.
Azaleas, man.
And Eric says, sure, I'll get right on that. Psych! You already told me the three secrets. And Feeny asks if he said there were only three secrets because psych! And we end the episode on maybe a little bit of an oof joke.
Could have been better.
We started on a little bit of an oof joke. But boy, everything in the middle of this is just
exactly
golden and gorgeous. I love it so much. So any final thoughts now that we have finished season two? I mean, we're going to do a whole recap of season two. You don't need to tell me your thoughts on the overall season, but any other thoughts on this episode before we close this out?
I really enjoyed it. I really liked seeing where it's going. I like seeing that they know there's going to be a direction. They're fleshing out other characters besides just Corey. I think I'm in.
At this point, it's really interesting how much the side characters, Sean and Turner, have become, you know, the central relationship to the
it's
show.
Amazing.
And like, it's really, it's a risk, you know, and I'm glad it happened.
Me
obviously.
Too.
But it's funny because I didn't see it. It felt inevitable at that age, like when we were doing it. But in retrospect, like it's a big shift from the beginning of the second season to end this way. It's a big shift.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I guess I also like, where's Topanga, right? Like,
right.
You know, which ends up becoming probably the central relationship of Boy Meets World. It's so interesting that the second season ends without any sort of development in that regard. Yeah.
Well, join us for our next episode, season three, episode one, My Best Friend's Girl. It originally aired September 22nd, 1995. And next week, Bruh Meets World will be joining us for the Pod Meets World season recap. Yes. Cannot wait to welcome them back. They're always phenomenal. So thank you for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Turn on your merch line.
PodMeetsWorldShow.com will send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.